Welcome to Give Me a Little Podcast with Xavier Marley. What's up to all my losers out there? First thing first, I want to start off the episode by saying congratulations to Killer Mike. I did do this episode when the Grammys was going on. I think there is a version of this episode where I talk about the... You know what? I deleted it. Sorry. Scratch that. Salute to Killer Mike. What he did was just amazing. Now that I had a few days to think about it, a few weeks to go over it, it's amazing. I first heard the album in December and on Christmas break, and I said, this album's going to win a Grammy. And I knew it was going to win a Grammy. It was just such a great album. And he, in fact, did win a Grammy. And when you listen to the interviews that follow the Grammys, he talked about how it was so intentional. It's just good to hear that. Whatever you do in your life, you always want to do things with intention. You want to date with intention. You want to talk to people with intention. You want to go to places with intention. You want to stay home with intention. Everything you want to do in life, you have to be intentionally bound to whatever pursuit that you desire. And he wanted to get a Grammy, and he saw that, he mentalized it, he put it out there into the world, and it happened. He was very intentional, and salute to Killer Mike, man. I still disagree with the other categories. Like, I don't think that he swept all three. I don't. I think that Nicki deserved one. Who else? I think Dirk won one of them. But I think Nicki deserved one. And I can't remember who the other guy who I thought deserved. But I didn't think Killer Mike deserved all of them. I'm happy for him, though. He won, and that's cool. You know what's crazy? The second one that I can't remember, Killer Mike's song did win. Scientist and... the one with Andre and Future, I thought that was the best song on the album. So it's not that the song wasn't good. I just felt like he didn't, it wasn't him that should have won. I definitely felt like Nicki should have won. I think that, for instance, they just don't give it to her. I think that she made a lot of great points. And I think they do it on purpose. I think they want to humble her. And it just sucks because you shouldn't have to be humbled. If you're talented, if the music is good, that should be the only thing that matters. The fact that Jay-Z even had to point out that the rap category wasn't televised, it just sucks. Regardless of where rap is going right now, due to the current art being put out there and due to the system of streaming, and the fact that we are living in such a number world, and the fact that value is only like, it's so tied into how much numbers you get. I think artists aren't creating art right now. There's a lot of reasons, man. We look at Beyonce just dropped two country songs. One was going pseudo viral. I think it's not by mistake. It's not by mistake what's happening with country. Can we say it's a demographic problem, right? There's more white people in this world than any other race. Yeah, we could say that. Can we say it's a platform problem? Yeah, we could say that. Or can we just call it out for what it is? It's a music problem, right? Country music has went through this. If you look at it after Garth Brooks, rest in peace. Sorry, Toby Keith. If you look at Garth Brooks, look at Toby Keith, rest in peace. The Dixie Chicks, during that time, it was like a rough patch, right? Those were like the heyday. But like in the mid-2010s, I mean, it was just like country was just going through it. And thanks to Morgan Wallen, a lot of other people that have came along the way, skipping my mind right now, country music has made a comeback. And hip hop has to do the same. But I don't want to cloud Killer Mike's moment. He put together a cohesive album, and it was great. It was great to listen to. Salute to Killer Mike. So I just wanted to start off by saying that. What's next on the pod? I've been watching a lot of shows during my breaks from school, because you know you need to have breaks, because if not, like, your mental health starts to decline. I came across The Bear, thanks to Zach. Great fucking show. It was a great show. I came across a Vince Staples show. Great fucking show. Great show. Just dope show. Just seeing what he did with that. I came across Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Come on. Come on, baby. Come bring it on home. Great show. Great show. I caught these shows because I see the advertisement. It just goes to show you, man, if you don't have good advertisement and marketing, people are not going to see it. No matter how good it is, a talent could take you 3/4 of the way. Salute to Raising Kane and Power, man. All my Power fans out there, man. I love that show. What a fucking ending. What an ending to the third season. If you haven't caught that, please watch that. What a great show. Great show. Bring it on in. Bring it on in. It's when you are dealing with people who have a desire to create great things. I mean, great things come out of it. You know, with me doing school, it sucks, right? Because I'm so disciplined towards it because I've been in school for so long, that I want to be like, you know what? I give up. And I'm just going to go do my own thing. I'm going to make my own thing. But right now, I know what I need to do best for me. Sometimes you get that FOMO. You get that fear of missing out. And then you get that anxiety of, you know, life might not be like this next year. And you need to do what you need to do now while you have a stable job, while you have a stable life. You need to make what you can make. And the truth is, you should do whatever is in store for you, whatever makes you fucking happy, whatever is in your fucking view, you should be able to have a desire to achieve it. And it shouldn't matter. So I am going to still work on myself. I just need to give myself time. I need to give myself time to really dedicate towards other things other than school. And I will find a desire to create. Just seeing Vince Staples, Donald Glover. Of course, these people are all celebrities and they have money behind them and they have access to people who are able to make their visions and their goals and their dreams come true. And of course, I got to work twice as hard to get to where they at. But it sucks sometimes because you're like, man, do I deserve, like, I want so much out of my life. You do ask yourself if you deserve to be here a lot of the time. You do begin to suffer from imposter syndrome a lot of the times. And that's just the truth. But salute to Vince Staples, man. What is just a wonderful show. The fact that he wrote a lot of the show is just, it's just amazing. It's pretty much his music. If you ever listen to his music, he pretty much just plays music into like a show, pretty much. It was 5 episodes. He's calling for Netflix. He's calling for the internet to bully Netflix and to give him a second season. I don't agree with that. I think if they don't want to give, first of all, Vince, this is where you fucked up at. Never give any platform your name, right? The Vince Staples Show. Don't never in your life do that, right? The Vince Staples Show should have been something he did on the internet on his own, right? And then that way it's his intellectual property. By him doing it with Netflix, Netflix own that shit. And it's like, Fuck, you never cut. And then let's say if Netflix brought out a show called Vince, right? Vince is Vince, but like your name is Vince Staples. And the fact that they own the Vince Staples show for 5 episodes, you gave up that much intellectual property. It's like, ah, my nigga, please. Like, why? Why are you doing this? We could have got a fucking red camera and we could have shot a lot of that shit ourselves. Maybe not the bank episode, but the other episodes we could have shot ourselves. Like it was not that bad. Salute to Vince Staples though for putting together something like that. Yeah, man. So we're gonna get into today's episode. We're gonna talk about an article that came out a couple of weeks ago by Issa Rae. Look, listen, I'm not dating the episode. It's just that I found things a lot interesting. Like when you have time to think, you have time to go over episodes, put set episodes together, you have time to think. And it's kind of on the hands of like shows, right? This week, Bob Marley movie came out and a lot of people, you know, had selective outrage about it. They were upset. They were upset that a lot of the actors were Black Brits. They were mad. They felt like they should have been Jamaican, being that the movie is about Bob Marley. I disagree with them. I agree with them and I disagree with them. I agree with them why it's important to see people who come from Jamaica on the big screen. It's important to see that it is about Bob Marley. But at the same time, you know, Paramount had a job to do. And they had to make sure that the movie had the right people in the movie. They had to make sure they had the big names in the movies. And they did that. I'm not mad at them for that. Maybe because I'm not that close to Jamaica. But I'm not mad at them for that. Yeah, man. So, and that all goes to the main topic of this podcast. So, Issa Rae. Everybody knows Issa Rae, right? So she comes out with this interview with Time Magazine. She was put on Time cover for the month of February. And in this article, she threatens independence. Now, Issa Rae got a current deal with Netflix. She was just in the movie American Fiction, which is kind of similar to the topics that she's tackling now. And it's so funny because I just read a book called Yellowface. And Yellowface, it tackles the issues that it's going on between race and the publishing industry when it comes to being an author. Just so happened, American Fiction comes out and it's about a Black man who feels like not valued by the industry, by the world. And he puts together a fake book. And then pretty much the world go crazy for this book. And it's just, he shows these parallels. Ironically, Issa Rae is also in the fucking movie. She plays this lady. I can't remember her name. It's like a very ethnic, black. It's a very Black name. Not like Shaniqua, but in that realm. Right. So she plays this lady that wrote a book and she's really intelligent in the movie. But she wrote this book that white people want to read. And it's about the Black experience. It's about like a real ghetto book. So she plays this character and Issa Rae is wonderful in this movie. I mean, she's wonderful. But by the way, this movie is nominated for 5 Academy Awards. Currently, and people is raving about it. It's really an interesting movie, and it really takes a look at what Black people have to go through, especially Black creatives when they're trying to put together masterpieces and the society just doesn't want them. They want them to fit in the box. So Issa Rae, she goes on this interview with Time Magazine and she talks about how you keep seeing Black shows get canceled. You see so many executives, especially on the DEI side, get fired, right? DEI stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion. If you don't know about that, that's a real big, big topic going on right now within corporate America. Some companies are like going away from it. Some companies, I mean, that's when you feel like you give people an opportunity to hire them based off of the color of their skin, their sexuality, or their gender, rather than their actual capability, whether they own the job. I'm sure that that's just a vague way of explaining it. I'm sure it gets more complex than that. But she's basically saying that a lot of the people that they once hired, right, as diversity hires, they get in Hollywood, they're getting rid of those same people. She's also says that there's a bitterness to it. Like, who suffered from you guys pulling back the people of color, right? So when these, it's a very complex thing, because the elephant in the room is people of color don't support movies, right? Like, they don't support their movies. They support the movie that everybody talks about, right? So, like, it's very interesting. Like, if you get a movie, the movie's popular, black people go see it. But if you get a movie and you say, hey, man, this movie is made for black people, to get them to see is very hard. It is very hard. I think generations before, prior, it was easier because people were like, well, they make these white movies. I mean, if you watch movies from like the 80s, you will barely see a black person there. It's like black people did not exist until like 92. Like, if you see these movies, like back in the day, like the reason why we made black movies, a lot of black people went to go see the movie because they didn't see themselves in any other movie. But today, you always see a random black guy somewhere. You always see a fucking crippled black gay guy somewhere. It's like you always see somebody somewhere that looks like you in the movie, whether he's in the background, prior generations that didn't happen like that. And I think that the young black people today, they seriously, even though they pull the race car more today than any other generation I know, the black kids today pull the race car. They don't even deal with racism and they still pull the race car. I think that while they pull the race car, I think they genuinely want to live in a more melting pot society, right? And I think they pull the race car when they feel like it, as moving the goalposts. I think they do that. But I think for the most part, I think this generation desires more than anything to live in a world where we are all together. We are all one. It's very interesting. I don't know where the line at when it comes to that. But getting them to say like, hey man, this is a movie that's made for you. They're not going to want to see it, right? They want to see the movie that white people want to see. They want to see the movie. Look, it's just the reality of it. I mean, we started off this podcast talking about the Grammys. How many times I talk about the BET Awards? I never do. I never fucking do. Unless it's like really polarizing, I just have to talk about it. But for the most part, I don't talk about the BET Awards. Why? Because we don't look at the BET Awards the same way we look at the Oscars or the same way we look at the Grammys. It's just what it is. I wish we could just stop being like obtuse about it and just be honest. Like, we look at the Grammys as an upper echelon awards. Like, why are we mad that hip hop is not being shown on TV? Because why? We want respect, right? We feel like, well, hip hop made billions of dollars. We should still be respected. We are trying to get people to respect us that just don't respect our art form. I mean, just the reality of it. White ice is colder. We want white ice. We want white sugar. We want everything white. The fact that black people sit and they act like they don't, and they be like, yeah, we want our own. What about our, when we gonna get our own? We don't want our own. We actually have 3 award shows. I mean, we have a lot of award shows. We have the NCAA CP award show. We have the Soul Trains award show. We have BET. We have 3 fucking award shows. And I'm sure we have small, like Hollywood Unlocked, the blog that does gossip. They for God's sake, have an Impact Awards. They have their award show every year where they give to content creators and things like that. We have award shows now. In several many, many award shows. It's not even funny. But yeah, man, I just think it's a complex topic. I think the elephant in the room is black people need to watch black movies. Like, we need to watch people that's being put out. And then when we do watch them, we don't really follow through. We don't really become fans of them. I think that's what's so special about Power, is that Power built up this universe. But and then here's the thing. Power was out before social media. So it's like, is it really, or is the fan base back when TV was being pushed? Could Power last today without the olden days of the OG power. No, it couldn't. Like, that fan base is already built in. I think that's the elephant in the room. And I think once she tackled that, then she's able to tackle the full spectrum of the topic. But she's upset, right? So she goes off and say, I'm sorry, but there aren't any smart executives anymore, right? So now she's insulting them. She said a lot of them have aged out or holding on to their positions and refusing to let young blood get in. Now these conglomerate leaders are making the decisions about Hollywood. Y'all aren't creative people. Stick to the money. The people that are taking chances on the platforms like TikTok, that's what's getting the eyeballs of the youth. You're killing your own industry. Despite the industry's changes, Issa Rae said that she feels secure. I guess that's a pun on her hit show Insecure, that her current partnership with HBO. However, she is reevaluating the feasible of smaller, quieter projects. Now that Hollywood studios have seemed to be turning their backs on them at a greater frequency. She said, when you have all of these streaming services that are competing with each other, it means that they're also moving the goalposts on what success looks like and what their brand is. It's all mush. She said that I know my brand identity is and I know what I want to make, but it doesn't align with who paying me to make the stuff. So it's complex. We are malleable, but only to a certain extent. I think I missed the whole paragraph. I really think I missed the whole paragraph. But come to find out, I didn't. I guess I just didn't finish a paragraph. But whatever. More of the article. She's talking about her show. So Issa Rae had a hit show called Insecure, right? Hit show. It went from HBO. It's on Netflix right now. Cross HBO, Netflix type thing. I get it. It was a hit show, right? So it tells about the love life going from a girl in her 20s. It's hitting right now, right? It's socially cued in to what women of today's time period are dealing with when it comes to being fucking independent, being free, being sexually liberated, things like that. It's being complicated, being college educated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Hit show, right? She brings out this other show called Rap Shit. This show is basically about the City Girls, right? It's kind of about the City Girls, but it's not about the City Girls, but it's inspired about how these corporate girls or girls who are just dreamers end up like becoming rappers, right? And it's pretty much it. And what's ironically, it is executive produced by the City Girls. Anyways, the season, it went up to like 2 seasons and then canceled it. Listen, people weren't tuning in. That's just what it really was. People weren't tuning in. They didn't see they didn't see themselves in it, right? The fact that it doesn't have online presence. Like, the show is not connected to online. Like, for instance, right, with Power, right? Just mentioned about Power has a Force Fridays, right? Where it was Power Force with the episode with Tommy. They called it Force Fridays, right? Like, Power, when Tariq is on every Sunday or every Friday, Twitter is being, for an hour, is being dedicated to Power. Right? What's happening in Power? The conversations. People are going viral. People are retweeting. The funny memes are out. It's like every episode, there's funny memes coming out. I mean, there is some sense of brand equity in it, right? Well, with Rap Shit, it's not the same thing. Like, nobody was talking about Rap Shit. And then pretty much it's a niche audience. It's about rap. It's about women in rap. It's such a niche fucking audience. I mean, you're talking about 13% of the population. You want them to carry your show. It's not realistic. It's just not realistic. You need to buy into that white audience. And if white people aren't tuning in, as well as your black audience is tuning in, then you got a show that's set for failure. I mean, it's just the reality of it. That's what I had to read about Issa Rae. I really wanted to talk about that really want to talk about how Hollywood, how she feels like Hollywood is scared and how she's threatening to go independence. Hey, go. We are in the era right now where Hollywood is just trying to cut fat. They're trying to cut fat. They're trying to fill as much seats as possible with movies that people want to see. The streaming services don't want to pay. After this strike shit, they crack down on prices. They making everybody get their own account. Fucking people not protesting. It's ridiculous. Like, Issa, if you want to go, go. It's nothing that anybody can tell you. Yeah, you're right. Right? What Hollywood is doing to black movies is sad. Right? They're not giving people a chance to create. Well, Issa, you know what it is. You started on YouTube. Get like the rest of us. You better start making Tubi movies. Because that's where black creators are going. We're going to Tubi movies. We're going to YouTube. That's where we're going. And then hopefully we get a big shot. Hopefully we go viral. It's sad. And let me tell you this. Art is the first one to go when it comes to anything. It's the first one to go because everybody think they could do art. Everybody think they could do this shit. Podcast. Look what happened to a podcast. Everybody jumped in the podcast game. Now here we are, 3 years later. Everybody's deleting their podcast or getting off their podcast. They're not creating no more. It's survival of the fittest. The real podcasters like me, we still outside. We still doing it. We still going. That's just the reality of it, Issa. So you can either retire, still keep going, or fucking get down with the executives. Because the game ain't changing. America, we are fucked up. We ain't trying to reinvent the wheel. We ain't trying to stand up for what's right. We are not trying to stand up for our rights. We are a slave to our environment, our pockets, and our experience. I'm out of here. Peace.